You are holy, 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 high and lifted up. You spoke the word, and things happened. Your word is living and active and powerful. Creation itself was spoken into existence. And here I come trembling to speak your word to your people with your power, nothing of my own. Use me, Father. Keep me small and humble and bold in your strength. Help me to be faithful to your text. Open my ears. Open my heart. Open the ears and hearts of those who are here to receive your word. May it go out powerfully and be active and evident in each of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You, however, have followed, studied to reproduce the same word that Luke used in the opening of his gospel. Luke actually wrote the majority of the New Testament as far as word count. And he was able to do that because he studied carefully all the goings and comings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the early church. And Timothy followed Paul's teaching. The sound words, this pattern of sound words that was faithfully handed down. Scripture, doctrine. And it's active. Paul didn't just talk the talk, Paul walked the walk. Timothy followed his teaching and his conduct. And in fact, his aim in life or his desire and Paul's faithfulness and Paul's patience, the evidence of that faithfulness and his love, the greatest of these is love. And as the potter molds the clay and we become more and more Christ-like, steadfastness, abiding, continuing. And then comes the persecutions and sufferings that happened to Paul at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. Timothy's from Lystra and probably was witness to some of those things, watching the persecutor become the persecuted. And these persecutions Paul endured as the Lord rescued him. But indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Not those who are self-righteous necessarily. Not Pharisaical, false piety, but living a surrendered life in Christ Jesus, abiding in him. Persecution will come. While evil people and imposters go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we studied that last time, and there's this turn. But as for you, Timothy, continue or remain. In the Greek, meno, the same word for steadfastness, the same word that we see over and over again in John 15, the true vine. But as for you, Timothy, continue remain in what you have learned. The pattern of sound words, rightly dividing the word of truth, these things that have been handed down to you and you've firmly believed, been convicted of, made faithful, assured. But it's interesting, if you go to the Young's literal translation, the word there is entrusted. Boy, that one fits. Timothy, you have been entrusted with this. It carries a responsibility. You continue because we are counting on you. Because you have been appointed to do this work. Just as Paul was appointed, you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have been entrusted with, knowing from whom you learned it. Whom is plural. Knowing from the people that you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the ancient words, the hero's grandma. Well, first of all, knowing from whom you've learned it. So who did Timothy learn this from? Well, certainly from Paul. Most certainly from Paul. Timothy was the protege. Paul was his father in the faith. But it also says how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. And the whom here is plural. And we can go back to chapter 1 and hear about how Lois and Eunice, his grandmother and his mother, passed on this faith to Timothy. Proverbs 22:16, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. These were good shepherds, Timothy, not like those men that we were talking about before, those who are deceiving and being deceived, but though these that you've learned from were good, and they were giving you good doctrine, good counsel, the sacred writings, the word of God. And how from childhood you've been acquainted with these sacred writings. The word for childhood here is quite interesting, brephos. It means an infant, even unborn. This is the same word used to describe John the Baptist leaping in Elizabeth's womb. The same word used to describe our Savior, baby Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. The same word used to describe the infants being brought to Jesus Christ for a blessing. And the disciples tried to shoo them off, and he says, no, let the children come. Because it is those like these children who will enter the kingdom. And we think of that like, well, childlike faith, and that's true, that trusting, tender, good soil, heart condition of a child. That's there, that's true. I agree with that. But also helpless, not contributing or able to contribute a thing to your salvation. Nothing to offer. Only asking. Only believing. And from childhood, you've learned and been acquainted with, you've known. This is the perfect tense. It's been completed and it's ongoing from infancy. Reconcile that in your minds. The word of God is living and active and supernatural. It goes beyond human understanding, beyond human reasoning. There is nothing wrong with preaching the word to an unborn child. Who knows? Who knows what God will do? His word does not go out and come back void. It will accomplish what he intends it to accomplish. All things are possible with God. And he says, you've been acquainted with what? The sacred writings, the ancient words, the hieros gramma. This would be the Old Testament. That's interesting also. The Old Testament, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So before our Lord and Savior was incarnate and born in Bethlehem, these writings, these ancient words, these sacred writings are able, can, sufficient, you might say, to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And there's lots of places we can go. Remember Jesus Christ? And we went through all these Christophanies and typologies in the Old Testament, only touching on some of them. There's the Kinsman Redeemer in Ruth. There's Genesis and the seed of the woman. We could go to Jonah, salvation is from the Lord. We could go to Luke, where Jesus was talking with the disciples on the road to Emmaus and explains to him how all of these things pointed to him. And in Luke 24:45, in fact, it says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Because it's all about him. The word was made flesh. Jesus is the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And the word of Christ is not limited to the New Testament, is not limited to the Gospels. These sacred writings are able, can, and are sufficient to make you wise, the application of knowledge for salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. We started off, as we gathered here this morning, with the servant's song. And I think that's really awesome. Because I intended to and am going to bring you to the servant songs of Isaiah. Please turn to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9, is the first of four songs. This is talking about the suffering servant, our Messiah, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Remember the promise to Abraham? All nations will be blessed. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out. He spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people. You pick up on that? I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The second of the servant songs in Isaiah is in chapter 49. So if you would turn a few pages over, chapter 49, verses 1 through 13. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. The seed of the woman, remember? He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God. Listen to this. And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to his servant to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. In other words, it's not enough to bring back Israel. I have a bigger job for you. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach out to the end of the earth, the Great Commission, the one that Paul is doing and passing on to Timothy. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. And this is what he says, kings shall rise, kings shall see and arise, princes, they shall prostrate themselves, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Because the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. You can read on to 13, but I'm going to move on to the next servant song, the third one in chapter 50, just one page over in my Bible. The third servant song we find in Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 11. And in this one, it's really comparing Jesus Christ as the good son. Israel was a rebellious son, and Jesus was a faithful son. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning, he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike. in my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. Remember when Jesus was headed to Jerusalem with his face set like flint, heading to the cross. And I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand, you shall not lie down in torment. Salvation is from the Lord. And finally, and perhaps most powerfully, we have, he was pierced for our transgressions in Isaiah 52, verse 13. And through chapter 53. Isaiah 52, starting with verse 13. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before them like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one who from men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off and out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. And it says, because he poured out his soul to death. So going back to our text, those sacred writings that Timothy was acquainted with, if you look at chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, Paul says, and this is right at the very end, one of the last things he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering." And you see Jesus Christ, the suffering servant who paid our debt, the Son of God, and Paul, who Jesus himself said must suffer for my name's sake. And Paul being poured out, and Timothy, the son in faith. But as for you, continue. Continue, Timothy. You know what I taught. You know what I walked. You know my desire, you know my faith, you know my patience, you know my love, you know my steadfastness, you know persecution's coming. Continue, because you know what you have been taught. You know what you believe. You know what you have been entrusted with. Salvation is from the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for carrying me through as I delivered this message. This is your message. This is your truth. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm